afternoon, Marion. This is Glenn Coleman, and you're listening to my program called A Progressive Life. And I'm thrilled to have you join us. I've got a guest today that we'll be talking to, Rex Caldwell. From he works at the Elks. I guess you're kind of our. I better figure out what microphone you're on. I think you're on three. You want to talk into the mic, and that way I'll find out whether that's you or not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you. I got you.
All right, thanks.
I'm sorry, Rex. I'm new at this game. I've only been doing it for 50-some years. Anyway, Rex came in graciously because we talked yesterday, and I was proud to hear that the Elks here in town are doing a program for kids where they're filling backpacks. You want to explain to us what we need to get from our listeners?
Yeah, this year, we kind of got involved a little bit last year because I had some leftover backpacks from our school program, and I got hooked up with a couple ladies that work with the foster kids here in town, and we never realized it was such a major issue in Marion that there were so many kids in foster care. And they said, well, what can we do to help? Because that's what the Elks are about. We're about serving the community, working in the community, and helping out our local communities all over the country. And they said, well, you know, we could really use more backpacks. And with the generosity of our members, by making their donations to our Elks National Foundation, we qualified to get $4,500 in a grant for them.
Fantastic.
Which we purchased 225 backpacks and 225 really nice fleece blankets that each kid will receive. And then what we're doing, our members are donating, and we're asking anybody that wants to donate to us items that we will fill the backpack with, because when these kids come out of some of these homes, they have nothing but the clothes on their back.
Wow.
So, you know, we're looking for, you know, right this time of weather too, this time of year, winter hats, gloves, you know, socks, little things for the kids like coloring books, crayons, little plush toys, because, you know, these kids are scared when they're coming out of these homes and stuff and don't know what's going on. And it's kind of just a nice way to say, here, we got a blanket you can wrap up in to secure you, make you comfortable. Here's a little toy. Here's a coloring book, you know. And then the other thing is a lot of stuff they need is hygiene items, because when these kids are coming out, depending on the situation that they're in, we need like baby shampoo, brushes, combs, hair ribbons for girls, you know. Mm-hmm. Little things for boys and stuff, and just some children's wash, because, you know, you got various ages from infants all the way up through, you know, adolescence. So
how do they get to the kids? Now they're foster kids, but they're always going to be going back to the same place, or at least for a while. So do you give that to the foster parents, or do you give it to the kid? How do they get a hold of this?
It'll all go through children's services.
Okay.
Here in town, because they are kids and children and stuff, we don't have any contact with them personally.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully through the years, you know, maybe as they grow up, they'll remember, because their backpack has the Elks emblem on it.
Ah.
And we got really nice backpacks, so it's something that'll last them for several years. And that backpack, that blanket belongs to them. It's their personal items. They can put whatever they want in it. And as they go to school, or maybe they have a place they need to stop on the way home and they get like extra meals or whatever, instead of carrying a little plastic bag, mm-hmm, they got their backpack, they can put it on, get back on the bus and everything, and nobody knows what's in it. And mm-hmm, it's just like a regular kid's backpack.
Well, save a lot. Plastic bags are really nice looking, but nothing as good as a backpack, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if somebody wants to donate to this, I assume they could donate 20 instead of 235, whatever you said, especially if it's for young kids, maybe you donate a young kid item or something like that.
Right.
And how do they get them to you?
They could drop it off at the Elks at 130 and a half South State Street. We're above the old Ohio Theater. We're still, yeah, there. Been there since 1914, and we're planning on being there a long time since then. But we're on the second floor.
That's across the street from the bus station, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only way I found it when I first found your place, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the theater's plans are being done, I guess. They've been checking into theater, maybe eventually, who knows when, reopening it or getting something going. But right now, we're just upstairs, and that's where we have our social room, where a lot of our members meet, and we have our meeting room up there and everything. But you know, we've got a place we can store this stuff, so people just drop it off, and, you know, we'd be glad to have whatever items we can get to help us out, help these kids out mainly, getting the stuff that they need.
What's your deadline?
There is no deadline.
Okay.
This is going to be a year on
just keep long on going.
Project.
Okay.
It seems like every day there's another kid going into foster care.
Yeah.
And we may need stuff. And as the seasons change, we'll try to get new lists out through social media or whatever, what we're needing. You know, it could be just maybe a beach blanket because they want to go to the pool and go swimming and something. That way they got their own towel and that kind of thing. And eventually, you know, we'll probably have to start getting more backpacks. Because we only got 225, and they're saying that there's almost 2,500 kids in the program.
Holy cow.
So, you know, we're going to need a lot more. And I think each year we're going to apply for another grant, and each year keep increasing, getting more and more stuff for them.
I'm going to offer this to you. We have I do on Thursdays, and this is a reminder to my listeners, I do this on Thursday. We have a program we call Swap Shop, and people call in and they sell their tchotchkes and their, you know, their little odds and ends. But we also make announcements, and if you get to a point where you're needing more things, we'd be glad to put that on Swap Shop.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, I'm not promising you'll get inundated with people, but everything you can get out there is helpful, I'm certain. Get people to know what's going on, because I never had heard of this, and you said you did do a few of them last year.
Yeah, last year we had like 36 backpacks left over, so we just donated the backpacks, and it just happened they got to us right after Halloween. We had some Halloween candy left over, so we donated the rest of our Halloween candy. So when the children received their backpack, they also got a nice little bag of candy inside of it too, which was kind of nice. And a nice thing is we're not involved in, you know, actually checking the stuff that comes in. So if people aren't sure what to bring in, we kind of run it through a couple of ladies I'm working with, also work at Ohio Health. So they kind of check the stuff to make sure it's safe, that we're not putting anything out there that could be detrimental to any of these young children or whatever. So,
as every parent knows, you have to check all that Halloween candy. I'm sure they checked that stuff too.
They you know, and I think if they know where it's coming from, makes a difference too.
Yeah. Well, I can't stress enough that the kids are our future, and the Elks are doing a nice job there. Now, if I wanted to become an Elk or just wanted to have an event at your place, which I did, by the way, when I was running for office, I had a fundraiser up at the Elks. And but if I wanted to join and become an Elk, what are the requirements for an Elk?
It's really pretty simple. You got to be a U.S. citizen.
Okay.
Believe in God and not be part of any terrorist group that's trying to overthrow the country.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, and it's men, women, and we're a very diverse Elks Lodge. So, you know, and we also have, you know, we have female officers, male officers. Our ER, I always tease him because he's of Puerto Rican descent. So he's a lot of fun. David is a lot of fun. So I have fun teasing with him, and we're good buddies. So, but yeah, so it's a great, you get to stop up the Elks, and one of our members will be glad to sponsor you. And then once you're sponsored, we take you through an orientation, which is a lot of video. There's like, we got two videos you need to watch. One explains about our ENF, our Elks National Foundation, and kind of like what we use that money for that's been donated by members for the last, you know, a couple hundred years, it seems like, but we're a lot of 150 years old. But they invest it, and then they only disperse out the interest. And it's usually quite a few $1 million that's dispersed out. This is how we got the $4,500. Each member's asked to donate $4.25 to ENF. And some give more, some give a little less, depending on their means. But as long as we make our per capita, we qualify for almost $10,000 in grants we can receive.
Good. Good.
But yeah, you know, and we are, a lot of people don't realize it, we're the premier veterans organization around. The Elks built the first field hospital during World War One.
Is that
and
right?
They built the first military hospital in the United States, all funded by the Elks. And after that, you know, some of the things we were involved in, we were the precessors for the GI Bill. A lot of people don't realize that. The Elks knew these guys were coming home. They didn't have a whole lot coming home from the military, so they were coming up with the loans and stuff for the military.
I'll be darned.
And eventually the government got involved, and it became the GI Bill.
I was going to say that had to be a huge undertaking, and because obviously I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of young men came back, young women as well, from World War II.
But so we're kind of proud of that. We do also, we're part of the North Central District, and we actually, for lack of a better word, we sponsor the Alzheimer's unit at the Sandusky Veterans Home. I always called it the Soldier Sales Home because my grandfather was in there when he got older. And
that's an old term.
Yeah, but it's a Sandusky Veterans Home. And each month, a group goes up from the district, and we have a Christmas, a birthday party every month for all the Alzheimer's unit people. They have cake, ice cream, coffee, punch, and stuff. And we'll go up, and I got to go up a couple times and help out a couple of our members and serve the veterans their cake and ice cream and sit and socialize with them and talk to them and stuff. And it's really fun. It's a great way to see these guys, and it's a beautiful facility up there, too, for these guys.
Well, how do they get you out of your shell? You never talk very much. Every time Rex and I sit down and talk, we talk a good hour, usually.
Oh, yeah, there's, you know, and, you know, I just love the Elks so much. I've been exalted ruler for my own lodge for five times. I served as exalted ruler, and then I've also served nationally as a district deputy. I represented the national president for 2 years and was responsible for overseeing 14 lodges and inspections and that kind of stuff. So,
well, and if I I know that you were a fireman. I believe you retired. Are you not?
Yeah, I retired 2015.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. 2015 from the City of Marion Fire Department after 25 years. So. And that was a great career. I loved it.
That's kind of how I got to know you, I think. I probably knew you before I met you at the fire station. But, yeah, now if excuse me, I'm coughing here. Now, if people, again, if people want to bring that stuff, they come, they can bring whatever they have. Does it have to be pre-approved or – would you like to have people call you and ask you?
Yeah, if they want to call and maybe they don't know for sure or aren't able to get out of their car or walk a lot, somebody can come down from upstairs.
Okay.
Because we're open from noon to 8 every day but Sunday. Okay. We're closed on Sunday because that's the day people need to spend with their families and stuff. And but, yeah, we could send somebody down to pick up the stuff from them, or they can come in and come up, and we'll give you a little tour through our building. I know you've been in it before.
Yep.
We have a
couple old
pictures of downtown Marion.
Yeah, I noticed that.
We got pictures of when the elephants walked down through town because most people don't realize that the Elks actually sponsored that circus.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
For the longest time, we were known as the Circus Lodge.
And now, isn't there some something that happened with one of the elephants, like a walk through a building or something?
There
are old wives' tales about that sort of thing.
Well, we got some really nice pictures, especially of old downtown Marion. And a lot of them were the color-enhanced photos that they did back then where they kind of almost painted the picture.
Yeah, I think they did paint into them. Yeah.
And it was really nice. We got where the old, when it was a vaudeville instead of the Ohio Theater, when it was the vaudeville, and then it was the Grand Opera House. A lot of history up there, and going through the books, some of the old minutes from back, because we started in 1885.
Wow.
Go back, we have the original minutes from the first meeting.
The one here in Marion started in 1885?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we actually started the Marion Hotel, I guess, in the basement. A bunch of guys called the Shanties got organized in Elks Lodge.
I'll be darned.
And so we've been within about a two-block area, always been downtown.
Uh-huh.
So we've always been within about a two-block area of where we are now.
Now, when you go in your door, do you have to buzz yourself in? I don't remember whether is there a difficult way to get upstairs? I know it's in the second floor, I believe.
Yeah, we have an elevator right by the front door. So if somebody did call up, we could send the elevator down or send somebody down and bring them up the elevator. Or we also have steps. The first door is just you walk through it. Okay. It used to have a keypad on it, but we don't anymore.
Okay.
And then when you get to the second door, you'll have to hit a buzzer, and then somebody will come to the door and, you know, just make sure, you know, what you need or whatever. Because we get people stop in, they're looking for a different building, and they just happen to walk into ours, and, oh, no, down the street a little farther. And
I'm guessing, because you have made it clear to me that I could come up anytime, anybody can come up and look around and maybe sit down and talk with you.
What kind of the basic rule is, we allow people to come in as a guest for three times, and then we ask you to join. Because through the membership is how we're able to do more community service and get more things for the community and really help the community. Like, you know, some of the other things we've done, like the city pool, we kind of adopted city pool.
Tell me about that.
We started out when they first opened, they wanted life jackets, so we ended up buying life jackets for kids that, so they could swim that weren't able to swim. And then from there, we've bought new umbrella covers, new chairs. We bought, in 2 years ago, we bought all new inner tubes for them for the lazy river. And then after that, last year, we ended up, we got $1,500 for them, and we bought a outdoor TV so they can use it for advertising, putting up events that are happening and what's going on at the pool, the hours, and even some of the possibility of playing movies for kids for birthday parties.
Cool. We're going to take a short, I'm going to shut down the pots because we have somebody that came in to get a prize, and we'll be right back.
All right.
All right, we're back on the air. I'm sorry about that. We don't have a receptionist, I'm afraid, and so therefore, occasionally I have to go off the air so that I can take care of business. I forgot what I was going to ask you. You also did your beside the pool thing. You also did that basketball thing that we advertised on our swap shop. And did that turn out? Okay, thank you.
It's the Elks National Hoop Shoot, and it's free to any youth between the ages of 8 and 13. They compete locally here, and then when they if they win the contest here in their age bracket, they move on to districts, which will be held, I believe it's January 7th in Sandusky. And from districts, they go on to state, from state to regional.
Do we have anybody going to the districts this year?
Yeah, we've got four children going this year.
Good.
We would like to see a few more girls show up. It seems like it's kind of tough to get a lot of female participation in the age groups. But I'm really proud of the shooters we have that are going.
Yeah.
Young gentleman that won, I think it was the 13-year-old group, shot 23 out of 25.
Wow. That's good shooting.
So he has a good chance to move on and represent
like
Marion all the way through. And if they do happen to make it to nationals, it's a great time. They go to Chicago. The parents get to go. It's all expenses paid by the Elks.
That's nice.
Take care of that for them. And the kids get to go around. A lot of times they'll bring in celebrities, basketball stars or whatever, to see the kids and meet with them and stuff. And if they do happen to win nationally, they'll get a chance to go to our national convention. Wherever it's held, the family gets a trip to the national convention to represent. And then they ask them to sit up at the booth they put up at the convention, and you get to meet them, and they shoot baskets and have some fun.
I came from a high school. Well, I actually went to three high schools, but my last high school, they didn't like me. They kept moving me on. No. My last high school was Valparaiso High School, and there was a coach there. His name is Virgil Sweet. He's still alive. He required that all of our basketball players shoot 100 free throws every lunch period, And we had pretty close to a 90% free throw shooting. It's amazing how much free throw shooting, and I know kids kind of poo-poo the free throw shooting, but you can win an awful lot of games if you can shoot free throws. So I think that'd be a good thing to have your kids do, boys and girls. My granddaughter just Instagrammed me a video of her making her very first point in I guess it was junior high basketball, and it was a free throw.
Yeah, it is, and it's surprising that a lot of these kids have move on, you know, and then later, you know, colleges and stuff, because if you know, you find a kid can shoot baskets like that.
Absolutely.
You know, you watch any college game down to the end, there's a lot of fouling going on, and that's the type of person you want, you know, 80 to 90% free throw shooter.
Absolutely.
On the field. Yeah.
Hey, well, you are aware that I was in intercollegiate athletics for 18 years, and one of my saddest days was down in Dayton when our kid, we called him Money Dillard, he always made his free throws. Well, he missed both free throws to lose an NCAA tournament game, and that was really rough. We thought we were going all the way that year. We had gone all the way the year before, but anyway, that's neither here nor there, but I would encourage people to help Rex out and the local Elks, and go back over what are those things you need people to bring to you.
A lot of it's hygiene material for kids, like baby shampoo, children's shampoo, you know, toothbrushes, toothpaste. But some of the seasonal stuff, and we're looking forward to, is like winter hats, winter gloves, coloring books, crayons. This one, I'm not sure what it really is for sure, but they told me crinkle books for babies and socks and, you know, plush footballs or soccer balls or baseballs for boys, you know, just something they have to play with. Baby wash and children's wash, you know.
Fantastic. Well, we'll try to get people to come in and come into the Elks with some of that stuff or give you a call. What's your phone number again?
Okay, the number up the Elks is 740-383-9830. And usually we have the bartenders in there from noon to 8. So if you just leave a message or they'll be give you some more information on what we need or how to drop it off. But, yeah, any help we can get from the community. You know, this is all about the kids. The Elks make nothing off of this. It's all, you know.
Everything you do is pretty much for the people you serve. You don't really have big fundraisers that I remember.
No, not really. But any fundraisers we do is usually for charity, and we're doing it to raise money for another project that we'd like to put on. Most of our other donations that our members make a lot of times go toward if we need new appliances or repairs or minor repairs here and there. We'll do a inside building foundation fundraisers for repairs and stuff like that. But
okay, well, Rex Colwell with the Elks. I appreciate you stopping in, and I hope we can generate some interest in this. And please let us know when you have new seasonal things that you need, all right?
I definitely will.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Radio from 12 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better? There is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
But?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Well, we're back here in the studio, and I hope you got some good education from Rex about the Elks here in town and how very good they have been to this community since 1880 something or other. That's pretty amazing. I didn't know that the Elks had been around that long. And if you're interested in helping them fill up those backpacks, give them a call at the Elks here in town, or just stop over. It's right across from the Greyhound bus station, and there's, you can see it if you look up above on the second floor. There's a sign that says Elks. You go in the door and then you walk up the stairs, and when you get to the top of the stairs, there is a buzzer. You have to buzz to get in, but they'll come and let you right in, and you can take a little tour around the Elks, as well as you know, take any sort of things that you want to help the kids with the backpacks, and that would be very nice of you. A great time of the year to make sure we keep giving, not just presents, but giving our love and our care to people that need it at this time of the year. Well, this is A Progressive Life, and I appreciate Rex coming in. I also planned to have a show about what I would do if I were elected president. And the reason, and that sounds terribly self-serving, but it's just some of the things that I think we need to really have our presidential candidates think about. And I know there are people that will disagree, and that's fine. That is what we do in this country. We are all one. We are not divided in half like we apparently have been, but like it's been chosen by somebody to do. One of the first things I think I would do as if I were elected the president, I would reinstate the climate change initiative. We are now to a point where it's going to get very difficult to reverse the changes that are already coming. We have people that have been, well, there are islands in the Pacific, nation islands, that have lost a lot of their territory, if not all of it. And they are struggling. What do they do if they're 500 miles from the nearest island, and the water level is coming up so high that they're going to get overcome by the water? Now, I know it's not your problem right now, but in fact, it is your problem. It's all of our problems. We are humankind, and we need to help each other a little bit better than we have been. Another thing I would do if I were the president of the United States would be to do away with the Electoral College. Now, it was established back at the very beginning, and there are several reasons why it was established, but one of the underlying reasons was so that kind of so that the smart people would make choices for us that we didn't make ourselves. And I really think we have a smart enough public now, and there are a lot of people that would disagree with that, but we have a smart enough public, both right and left, that we can make a one-on-one choice. And is that not what America stands for, is individual opportunity to say what we believe? Now, you can say what you believe. You can't force other people to believe what you believe. My program, A Progressive Life, I try never to tell you what you should believe. There's one thing I think that I have told people, and that is to think about your decisions. If you're in favor of something, think it through. Don't just blast it out because you've heard other people say it. Think about it before you shoot your mouth off. And I try to, but there are people, including my wife, that would say there are times that I don't do that. Another thing, if I were the president, I would require that my staff be totally frank and honest with me. I've learned, being an administrator at several different levels, if I don't allow people to tell me exactly what they think, if I sanction them in any way for speaking their mind, all it does is clam everything up, and nobody learns anything from people that are, let's say, sycophants, people that want to get the boss to like them. And quite frankly, if you're a good boss, you will like them whether they tell you something you agree with or don't agree with. That is one of the prime things that a good boss will do. He or she will listen to you and take your counsel in good faith and understand that you may disagree, but you have your thoughts and your thoughts have value. If I were running for president this year, I would certainly seek to have as my running mate someone that would be able to counsel diversity. Being an old white guy, which I am, I would probably pick somebody like the lady who just resigned or stepped out of the running for president, Kamala Harris. I truly believe that we need to inform ourselves, and we need to have our top of our government reflect where we are going. By 2030, us old white guys are going to be in the minority. All white people will be in the minority. Black and brown and Asian people will be a majority. And it's not a race. We are all Americans, and we should all be proud of being Americans. And we should be proud of being human beings, being human about being Americans. We need to inspire honorable and honest media. We hear an awful lot of talk about alternative media. Media are the enemy of the people. The media has been called everything under the sun, and quite frankly, having come from the media, having been a writer, having worked for a newspaper, having worked for radio, I know that at many of the places where I worked, I was encouraged to be honest and truthful. And at most places, I was required, if I said something that was stated as a fact, that I have two corroborating witnesses to that fact. I couldn't just hear it from somebody at the local bar and spread that down. I needed to have two people, two trusted, honest people that could confirm the facts that I was talking about. I find it very difficult that we have people just spouting off. I find it angering that we will tell our media how to respond based on your facts rather than the facts of life. We have media that gets closed down. They have to close because they can't afford to stay open because there are people that don't believe in another person's right to freedom of speech. And I don't mean that freedom of speech should allow people to scream fire in a theater, or even freedom of speech to call other people bad names or lie about other people. Freedom of speech to me is freedom of being able to talk about problems on all sides of the question and being able to give respect to the other person that we may not agree with, and that's what I find as freedom of speech. When I was at a radio station a long time ago, a very wealthy man in town tried to tell us how we should do the news because he disagreed with the way we did the news. Well, we were doing the news based on the type of requirements that I was talking about. We had to have two corroborating witnesses if it was local news, and if it was national news, it had to be done through a nationally recognized organization that also had two corroborating witnesses to their facts. Fortunately, our station owner decided to let the sponsor go by the wayside because sponsors shouldn't have the right to tell you what's true and what's not true. Now, if you're telling lies, that should be brought to your attention. Also, we need to return, I think, to the political norms that we've had for years and years and years. As a Republican when I was young, and now as a Democrat, I think that those there are certain things like the norms of not accepting if you're a politician, not accepting anything to sway your opinion, the emoluments clause, idea of pay for play, the idea of I'm not a real fan of having lobbyists who are paid. I would like to see us do away with paid lobbyists. I think we need to have tax transparency. I think we need to know whether somebody has paid their taxes or whether they have not paid their taxes. And if their taxes say that they have been corrupt, we need to see those taxes, especially at the higher levels. I think we need to curtail some of the executive orders that are placed without Congress's supervision. I think that we do far too much of that. And I also think we need to find a way to regulate pardoning. The idea that you can pardon anybody for anything, if you happens to be the president, can do that. I think that's encourages corruptness. We need to encourage disagreement among the cabinet members. If one cabinet member believes one thing and another believes the other, we need to sit down and talk about it rather than firing them because you don't like what they say. We also need, this is more of a nuts and bolts thing, but I think we need to work on our infrastructure throughout the United States. We have miles and miles and miles and miles of interstate, which were wonderful, and I believe they were started by Eisenhower, and they're lovely. I travel out to California about every other year to see my son, and it's nice to have interstate that you can drive on and go surprisingly fast. I think there are some states that you can do 80 miles an hour, which is way too fast. If I hit anything above 70, there's this horrible screaming noise in my car, and all I have to do is look at my wife. We also need to find a way to support the underserved people in America. Now, some people would say underserved, what does that mean? An underserved person. There are millions of people that can't make a decent living because we just don't have the positions that they can fill that will help them make a really fine income. And so, therefore, we have people that fall through the cracks, they can't afford to pay for their kids' food, or they can't have decent clothes, or they can't have decent home or shelter. And I think we need to find a way to help our brother. Now, I know a lot of people say you should allow churches to do that, but they don't. They can't afford to do it First of all, how many of you people tithe? I doubt that a whole large amount of the people tithe. I remember when I was a kid, my father tithed, but he was a minister, so he did tithe. And even if you all tithe, it would be very difficult to do the projects that we ask our government to do for people that are downtrodden. And those people, my wife was a social worker for, that was her training. And I've met some of those people that other people say are lazy, and they're not lazy at all. I don't know of any people that she ever helped that were lazy. They were just in a bad situation. And I know there are a lot of people who just, oh, I know somebody that said such and such did that. Well, you got to stop listening to all that BS. most people in the world want to fend for themselves. They don't want help from other people, but sometimes they need a little help, and that's what I'm talking about, supporting the underserved. We need to find a way to make the, right now we are struggling to find a way to move the wealth downward. I don't mean we should take away from people who are honestly earning an income. But the fact that we have billionaires running for office and billionaires putting other people out of the opportunity of running for office, it seems to me that there is some sort of problem with the spread of wealth and the use of wealth. I don't believe that we need to have anywhere near the amount of money in our politics that we have. And I have a lot of different ideas about that, but I just don't have time to talk about it. But let's just say I would encourage that we get rid of a lot of the money in politics, because all it does is encourage corruption. We need to maintain our separation from politics and public service. Politics are people that are voted for. Public service are people that work for the United States and have a, they don't have a political alliance. They have a governmental alliance. They owe their alliance to the our Constitution. And there are a lot of, as you've probably heard recently, some very fine people in our public service, and I think we need to encourage people to go into that, even though it's not a highly paid part of our government. We need to maintain separating church and state, I believe. We have, in certain areas, we have made laws or adjusted laws or corrected laws or that are encouraging church and state to move closer and closer. The state of Ohio right now is looking at allowing schools to encourage religious meetings and that sort of thing in the schools, and I personally think we ought to be very careful of doing that sort of thing. We ought to think about doing voter registration at birth. The minute you're born, you are registered to vote. You can't vote until you're 18, but you're registered so that they can track you from the day you are born all the way through till you start voting, and then track your voting as well, as which we do. I think we ought to seriously consider term limits for all elected offices, all, not just the president, not just a few, the governors, all elected offices should be subject to term limits. My personal recommendation is that no one serves more than two term limits of 4 years each, so you would serve 8 years, and that would get rid of some of the I believe some of the corruption. It would also make people more honest. Right now there are dozens of people right now in our Congress that are afraid to do anything because they want to get reelected. And if they had term limits, maybe that would be eased a bit. We have people who are making bad decisions just so that they can get reelected. I think we also need to think about term limits on all judges. And I mean from the Supreme Court on down. For somebody to have a judgeship for life means that, especially, and I hate to say it, especially in the later years, there are some people that are not going to have the mental capacity to be good judges. I think we need to harden the divisions between all three branches of government rather than allowing one of the three branches to override the other. They were put together so that they would check and balance each other, not override one or the other. And right now, the executive branch seems to think they can run roughshod over over the other branches. I think we ought to fight voter suppression in every case. It's been proven through study after study after study that there is very little voter fraud, and yet we keep trying to throw people off of our voters' lists. I think we ought to find a way politically to reduce the cost of education. And I personally don't believe that moving towards private education is a way to reduce the cost of education. We need to find a better way than funding it by the property tax, which kind of skews towards the people that have money. Anyway, those are just a few of the things that I thought about one night when I woke up at 4 o'clock and had to take the dog out, and she made me take her out. And then once I was awake, I stayed awake and I started planning out this program that I wanted to talk about. And I know there are a lot of you that will disagree with some of those things, and that's what we should do: disagree. Be comfortable enough that you can disagree with it without being obnoxious with your disagreement. There's no reason to say I will never talk to that person again because he believes that we should have term limits on judgeships. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, you're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life, and tomorrow I will have program. Well, call me in if you have some tchotchkes to sell.
LP Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary comedian Kay Ballard.
What do you like about this time of
Christmas? I wish Christmas. I get sad because I think of my family. I think about when I was younger.